The section we've just read is part of a longer section. The whole of chapter 6 is actually the context of this discourse of Jesus's. And it'll help if I just outline quickly how we got to hearing that Jesus is the bread of life. It started with a miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. People had gathered to hear Jesus. They were in the wilderness. There was nowhere to get food. No plates of biscuits. But there was a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus told his disciples to take those and feed 5,000, which they did, and people were quite rightly amazed. And they came to Jesus afterwards, and they wanted Jesus to be their king, but not for the right reasons. This took place on the far side of the Sea of Galilee, or Lake Galilee. And when they came to try and force Jesus to be a political king for them, Jesus left. His disciples got in a boat, and Jesus walked to them on the water, out to them. And he ended up back on the Galilee side of the lake. And when the crowd found he'd gone, they got into some boats, and they came across looking for Jesus. And when they found him, they said, "When did you get here?" And Jesus doesn't answer that question because it's pretty irrelevant, really. But he starts to talk to them about what's happened and who he is. For they had seen a miraculous sign. 5,000 people had eaten the bread from 5 loaves. But they had not seen the significance of that which they had experienced. And Jesus goes on to tell them that there's food that's far more important than bread that can only sustain for a short while. There is a food that sustains to eternal life. The people still don't understand, and they say, "What must we do?" Basically, this is not a direct quote. They say, "What must we do to gain God's approval?" They're looking to what works they can do to gain God's approval. And Jesus answers them, and this is a quote: "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And the one he has sent is Jesus." They then want some proof. And they say to Jesus, "What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And it's somewhat, I don't know, almost amusing that these people, who not long before have tasted the results of 5,000 people being fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish, in the wilderness, to ask Jesus for some sort of sign similar to God feeding his people in the wilderness with bread from heaven. And they really can't see that there is someone greater than Moses standing here. And Jesus tells them that it wasn't Moses that gave them the bread, but it was God. And that the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And the crowd then say, "Sir, give us this bread. And that might almost sound as if they're beginning to believe. But sadly, that's not the case. And we now to come to verse 35, where we started the reading. For Jesus says to them, I am the bread of life. And I've got three sort of headings. They don't all start with the same letter. They're not even single words. I'm sorry. Jesus is the bread of life, and who can receive this bread of life? How do we receive this bread of life? And how do we live this life that it brings? So who can receive it? Well, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So the bread of life is available to all who come to Jesus and believe in him. And we see in verses 37 and 38, and also verse 44, which I will read, that the Father gives people to Jesus. Jesus said, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And it is the will of him who sent me that I shall lose none of all those that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. And verse 44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I wonder if you know that God has sent you. Because some people might think, well, if the Father doesn't send me and I'm not drawn to Jesus, then how can I be condemned for not believing in him? Because the Father didn't send me. But it doesn't work quite like that. In Matthew 22, Jesus tells a story of a king preparing a wedding banquet for his son. The king sends invitations out, and the time comes for the banquet to be held. The tables are loaded. Everything's ready, but the guests don't arrive. So the king sends his servants out to remind them. They're saying, it's all ready, come, the banquet's ready, come and join in. And the guests still don't come. So the king sends his servants out into the streets to bring people in, both good and bad. And that's what God is like. With God, there is room for all. All are invited. The invitations have gone out. And it's only those who refuse the invitation, who harden their hearts against God's invitation, who in effect exclude themselves from the banquet. The invite goes to good and bad. You should never think, I am not good enough to have an invitation to God's banquet. For God sends his servants out into the streets to search so that none may be left out. If you seek, God will find you and draw you into the presence of Christ. And Christ will never let you go. So how do we receive this life? Jesus is the bread of life. Those who eat of his flesh and drink of his blood will have eternal life. He's very clear. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. John doesn't mention the bread or the wine, the body and blood, in his record of Jesus and the disciples celebrating their last Passover. He has a long discourse and prayers of Jesus. He has the washing of feet, but no bread and wine. He has no need to, for the other gospel writers have covered that. And here, in a much more in-depth passage, Jesus explains facts that are relevant to our communion, to the Lord's Supper. He explains in detail that we must feed on him. And the imagery is, to be honest, revoltingly macabre. Verse 53, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Verse 55, for my flesh is real food and my blood real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in him, in me, and I in him. Now, one of the great principles of the Reformation was the perspicuity of Scripture, which means the clarity of Scripture. It is easily understood. But that doesn't mean that every word is literal. And there are ways of understanding what the writers intended. There are various ways of looking at it, but the best way is what's called the historical grammatical. And what that means is looking at what the words mean, looking at the type of literature you got there, and seeing what the historical context was. And there is no doubt that Jesus said things to make people think, to get them past just the words and to understand the meaning. We see Jesus doing something very similar in the teaching of Nicodemus, where he says to Nicodemus, that's in John 3, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And Nicodemus says, can a man enter his mother's womb a second time? And to the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus says to her, in John 4 this is, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. So what we read here is perfectly in keeping with Jesus' teaching, his style. He's trying to get people to see that he is the bread of life. That without him, there is no eternal life. And how do we feed on Jesus? We feed on Jesus whenever we turn our hearts, our minds, our spirits to him. We can feed on Jesus through Scripture, through prayer, through praise, through joining together in fellowship, through acts of service. And none of this is to denigrate or to lessen what we're going to do later, which is share in communion. To feed on the flesh and the blood of Jesus. It does not require bread and wine to be anything more than bread and wine. But it's not just bread and wine. For when we come here, trusting in Jesus and his work for us, when we take part in this communion as a remembrance of Jesus giving his body to be broken and his blood to be spilt so that we might live, Jesus will draw us ever closer. The Lord's Supper is much like baptism. For it's not the water that washes away sin. It is the grace and the mercy of God. So how do we live this life, this eternal life? For it isn't something that starts when we die. Eternal life starts when we come to Jesus in repentance and faith. Eternal life starts here and now. It's a life in which we have been freed from the debt of sin. It's a life where we have been freed from the punishment for sin. It is a life where we have been freed from the enslavement to sin. It is a life in which we have been freed to have a restored, loving relationship with God. We are not made perfect, not this side of heaven. We still make mistakes. We still sin. But we are not ruled by those sins. For we have had freedom bought for us by the body and blood of Jesus, given that we might have eternal life. Andrew reminded us this morning that when we're going through the trials and tribulations of life, we do so as people for whom Jesus has won the victory. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God, the just, is satisfied to look upon him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. We live at a time when Satan is doing his best to disrupt Christian life, even non-Christian family life, when he is trying to bring in his kingdom of death, because that's what his aim is. It was he who tempted Adam and Eve, knowing that the wages of sin were death. But God brings life. And Jesus is the bread of life. Satan will try to convince us that we are ineffective and defeated Christians as the world turns its back on God. But we are not. In freedom, we can walk with our eyes fixed on our heavenly King. In freedom, we can walk into his loving arms in the confidence that he will never let us go. Jesus is the bread of life. Let us feed on him tonight and each day of our lives. Amen.